1021 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge, 503-864-6326. Kind of day. That's the fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire day. You can also jump over on the YouTubes. 105.1 The Fan is the channel. Smash that like, subscribe button, jump in the chat, and you can get real mad about Peyton Watson like everybody is over there currently. We'll get to that in hour number deuce.
Hey, we talked about this before the show.
Hey, like they all want me to change the board behind me.
Right. It's a controversial take right now.
Yeah. Is it bad news? No, it's just average, normal news. We'll get to that in hour number deuce. But I wanted to ask the question about college coaches, and I want to pose this almost like when we get to the Big Nooner, I want to circle back on this and ask the question of which of these two coaches would you rather have? Because I think there's decent amount of pressure on them, but I want to know how you equate real pressure, okay? Let's take Dan Lanning, for example. Let's take Marcus Freeman, for example. A lot of pressure at Oregon, a lot of pressure at Notre Dame to win a national championship. Marcus Freeman's been in one. It was not a pretty game, but he's been in one. Mm-hmm. Dan's got that bugaboo about kind of big losses in late in the season. So there's definitely pressure on them, but is there more pressure on Dan Lanning than Shane Beamer at South Carolina, who for my money will be the first college coach fired this year? You know, is there more pressure on Sarkisian? Is there more real pressure on Lincoln Riley? So I'm curious how we actually view pressure on college football coaches. Because, look, everybody's trying to win. Mm-hmm. If you're Texas Tech, you're trying to win. If you're Alabama, you're trying to win. But is Kalen DeBoer's pressure different than Dan Lanning's?
Yeah, I think there is different levels of pressure. Because, look, I mean, Dan Lanning, I think there is a ton of pressure on him this season mm-hmm. to have his team perform in the playoffs. Like, the regular season, I don't think, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like, the regular season is what it is for Oregon. Like, we kind of know they're going to, at worst case, they're going to be probably 10-2, make the playoffs.
And Oregon was dominant in that Texas Tech game in that first game of the playoffs.
Right. They took that one step. But at the same time, all that we're really going to judge him on is how they perform in the playoffs. Do they get, you know, dump trucked by 40 points again? But I think there's real pressure there because, look, he's not going to get fired. I don't think there's any scenario where I see Dan Lanning getting fired this season.
Sure. Same with Marcus Freeman.
Right. But at the same time, there is a lot of pressure because I think there's so much expectation, and there should be with those programs, and that's where you want to be. So I think that pressure is a lot different than Sark, where if Sark goes 8-4, like, he probably will get fired, mm-hmm. and he probably should get fired because of all the talent he has. I think there's different. It's just different types of pressure, so yeah, they're all under pressure, but it's all just kind of different at the same time.
Yeah, and I'm also curious, like, as pressure starts to mount again, like...
Like, I feel like the Sark... So to that point, I feel like the Sark pressure, where you're fighting for your job, that is a little more intense pressure, where you're going to feel it in the games. Like, you can feel the tension when they cut without with a knife, like, man, like, he's going to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
Where Dan Lanning's like, all right, well, we lost again by 25 in the playoffs, but we're going to have another good squad coming back next season. So there's still a bit of pressure, but you can understand, you can kind of talk yourself into, you know, we're taking a step forward.
A behind door number three is a third type of pressure. Mm. And that pressure I'm curious to the most is, I'm going to throw a name at you and I'm going to ask, when does pressure become like another guy who has kind of been left for dead now? When does Kirby Smart start to feel pressure? Okay. When does Kirby Smart turn into Dabo Swinney? Okay. I think Dabo's a better coach than Kirby Smart. I think Kirby's a better recruiter than Dabo.
Yeah, I would flip those.
You would flip them.
Yeah, I would flip those. I think Dabo's been able to bring in great talent, and again, that's why you land a guy like Trevor Lawrence, you land guys like the Sammy Watkins, the DeAndre Hopkins. He's landed big names over the recruiting builds in history. But what I love about Kirby Smart is Kirby Smart is really good about assembling teams.
Sure, like, sure. They have identities, great D-lines.
Identity is mm-hmm. probably the biggest thing for me when it comes to Kirby Smart.
But if Kirby Smart goes another couple years without winning a title, I mean, look how much we bag on Ryan, not us, I mean the collective, we look how much we bag on Ryan Day, and he won one a couple years ago. Kirby hasn't won one for a little bit. And I know that's crazy to say because it's only been like 3-4 years since he's won one.
But I would say that the Ryan Day, I guess, fire and the heat that we had towards Ryan Day is similar to what we're talking about with Lanning now. That's not similar to Kirby Smart, because I think Kirby Smart, when you have a few of those, you're kind of in a league of your own in some ways.
And maybe behind door number four is the outlier we don't think of, and that's where you are. Like, yeah. If DeBoer goes 8-4 this year, I don't think they can afford to fire him. If Lincoln Riley,
right, they gave him the new extension.
If Lincoln Riley doesn't win 9 games this year, I don't think they can afford to fire him.
Right.
And then there's other guys like, I don't think BYU's ever going to fire Satake.
Like, he would have to do something be horrible.
Right? As this texter says, Dan has to win less than 7 wins in back-to-back years to lose his job. Now, that ain't going to happen.
Now, there's always the James Franklin scenario.
Sure.
And that's where I think the Lanning thing comes into play, where Franklin could never get over the hump, right? He could never beat Ohio State or Michigan. He just couldn't do it. He could beat everybody else, couldn't beat them. Right now, Oregon has that same thing where they're beating everybody. Like, Lanning doesn't lose to teams he's supposed to lose or supposed to beat. If Oregon's supposed to beat them, they'll win. Now, he's also starting to beat some more teams, but when he gets to the playoffs, he's been losing.
Sure.
So if this continues to happen, then you have one bad season like Franklin. You lose to UCLA. That's when you get fired, but it's not right now. Like, Lanning's still so new to Oregon that it's not going to happen at this point. But that is the road he's going to continue to go down if Oregon continues to get crushed in these playoff games.
To use Franklin as the analogy, it's like if Lanning loses to Indiana last year at Autzen,
yes,
in the regular season, and then you go on the road the next week to Northwestern and you lose. That's where it starts to tumble. It's just such a fascinating thing to me because
that was also like 5 years, 6 years of Franklin.
Right, right. And that's where I wonder if Kirby can eventually get there. If Kirby's like making the playoff but not winning, not appearing in national championships. Because look, we talk about Dabo winning national championships like it was 15, 20 years ago.
It wasn't.
It's not. It's not. He's got more titles. Well, the only guy currently coaching right now with more titles than him is Kirby. And we talk about him like he's Lou Holtz.
I just think of it as I always think of football as a what have you done for me lately type of game.
Sure.
Kirby's done a lot more for me lately than Dabo Swinney has.
And Dabo.
Agree, totally. It's more just the conversation of when does that pressure, like Kirby, that door number three of pressure, start to hit a guy like Kirby?
I think Dabo should face some pressure because he does not institute the portal at all.
No.
Like, he has not embraced that.
Evolve or die.
He had 9 draft picks last year for Clemson. That team sucked. And they had 9 guys get drafted in the NFL.
So,
Casey's point, he's a great recruiter. He brings in talent. They don't win. That goes on the coach when you have the talent like that, and now you're not filling that talent with transfer portal stuff. You're just going to say, oh, well, we're doing it the Clemson way. Dude, if Clemson has another bad year, like, they need to think about it, canning them.
I picked Clemson to win a natty last year.
Right.
They were like the dark horse Cinderella that everybody was really into. And I wonder if that's the other thing, is that a lot of these guys are losing coordinators too.
Yeah.
Like, who's siphoning off coordinators and who isn't? I never hear Notre Dame coordinators being touted as the next guy up, you know? And he lost Venables, and he's lost guys over the years at Clemson, and that's what's fallen for him.
Yeah. That's why it's pretty impressive.
Maybe Kirby's the same way. I don't know.
That's why it's impressive what Lanning's done so far. Now, he lost both this year, so we'll see what he does. So if they continue to win this year, he's lost 3 big ones.
And no
big jobs.
And nobody's poaching Cignetti guys either.
No.
See, that's zero pressure.
He's the one guy. One guy has zero pressure because that was literally the worst program ever. They won a title.
Who has the number one job security in America? It's got to be Cignetti.
100%.
I mean, even more so than like Eric Morris at Oklahoma State this year. Even Kalani Sitake at BYU, who I don't think they'll ever get rid of.
Right. No. How could you fire
Cignetti?
Everyone
is getting fired before Cignetti. He could go 0-for this year and not get fired.
Right. I agree.
He brought a championship to Indiana.
I still can't believe Indiana won a championship. That sentence doesn't make sense.
Well, I can if you take the eye off the helmet. Because if you watch the games, those teams are really good.
Those teams were awesome.
Teams were really, really good. I don't know if they're like Joe Burrow good, LSU good, but like, or that Georgia team that steamrolled everybody. What was that, 5 years ago, 4 years ago? I don't know if they're that good, but that team was really good.
They're the best team.
A lot of dudes in the league.
Best team in the nation last year. I don't think there's any doubts about it.
No doubt about that.
Which pressure would you rather have? Would you rather have the Lanning Freeman pressure, the Lincoln Riley, Kalen DeBoer pressure? Or the Kirby Smart Dabo Swinney pressure?
I'd rather have the Lane Kiffin pressure.
There is no pressure on Lane.
Exactly.
Not yet.
Oh, see, I think there is.
I think there is in the sense of...
I think when they lose to Clemson...
He can't lose 5 games.
When they lose to Clemson week 1, there's going to be a little bit of pressure coming on him.
Yeah, he just bagged on Clemson this whole segment just to say that they're going to beat LSU.
I think Clemson's going to get double digits. I
even
like that
if
one.
Lane loses 5 games, you're still owed $91 million.
Good text. Kirk Ferentz.
Oh, Kirk Ferentz. I still think Ferentz would get fired before Cignetti.
That's tough. Dude, that bro has been there forever.
Punt.
Yeah.
Punt University.
And their fans love it. Their fans embrace the puns.
Well, they wave to the kids, man. You can't fire somebody who waves to the kids.
That's, you know what? That's actually a really good point.
Plus, somehow they'll bring Caitlin Clark into this, and that'll be a whole.
Caitlin Clark goes out. I'd love Kirk Ferentz.
There was a former Penn State coach who got in a lot of trouble.
Joe Snow Turtle.
Easy ride.
Off the top rope, lowercase.
What are we waving the kids?
I think the pressure I'd rather have oh is God. Dan Lanning and Marcus Freeman.
Yeah.
Because we know they can. And I think a lot of us assume they both will. Like, if I had to put a futures bet down in the next 5 years that both of them have natties, I would do it. I'd put $100 on that.
Yeah.
Probably pay out nice. I think both those guys get a ring in the next 5 years.
I agree. If Freeman and Lanning both stayed at their schools forever, who would be fired first? Like, they're not interested in the NFL. They would never go anywhere. They're just going to ride it out.
That's a great question.
I think it's got to be Freeman, just because the fan bases expect more out of Notre Dame.
I think so, too.
Yeah, maybe. Because they've got those, and Oregon doesn't
have
one yet.
Oregon doesn't have one.
I think Lanning can survive a 6-6 season, a 7-5 season, and he'd be like, "Well, we're going to bring it back. We're going to spend some more." Where Notre Dame's like, "Nah, dude, we got to win." Because Notre Dame thinks they're still the best program in the nation.
Yeah, they think it's 1947.
Win one for the Gipper.
Let's circle back on this in the Big Nooner, and that's the question that I'll ask you. Would you rather have Dan Lanning or Marcus Freeman? Very different coaches, but on the same trajectory. We can get back into that a little bit later. But what's going on in Penn State? You guys ready to party, y'all? Let's go. There's Casey with sports. We will get to some Peyton Watson stuff in hour number deuce. It's a 10 toes down Thursday. We'll get to that in the Big Nooner. Sticking in college football, we'll have some little fun here. I got Stevie Fire with me to my left. The Attorney General for the state of Pennsylvania has announced that the leader of a cocaine trafficking ring involving Penn State University students and two student fraternities surrendered last Tuesday morning. We are pleased to report that the most significant members of this cocaine trafficking organization are accounted for and will have their fair process in court. These are very serious charges, and the next steps will be preliminary hearings.
This one's going to get wrapped up very quickly.
Oh, probably,
They're
man.
They're going to snitch on each other so fast.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. I think some people got arrested in Maryland, too, so they're, like, on the lam just trying to figure it out. But, like, dude, the idea, like, I mean, college kids are college kids, bro.
Yeah, but...
Are they selling good stuff, or are they selling stuff that's going to kill people?
Giant cocaine rings.
His nickname was Pablo Pledge Escobar.
Whoa, Pledge Escobar?
Yeah, because he's using the pledges to, like, help out, you know.
I'm shocked that a fraternity is wrapped up in this.
Also, one of the dads got wrapped up in it, too.
Could I argue, though, that if you're selling clean cocaine, I'd rather you doing that than this crap you can buy on the streets in Portland that's got fentanyl up in it?
No, you don't want people trafficking cocaine in your country.
Are you sure?
Yes.
It's a cool drug, man.
It's not a safe one.
Depends on where you're getting. I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. If these guys
Casey, I feel like you don't. You just, like, you're shooting for not to have it.
Okay, I will
like
admit.
You're lowering the expectations to be like, well, you know what? At least it's good stuff. Let's shoot for a hey, let's try to get it out of there.
I don't think that's lowering expectations. I think that is the expectation, is that it better be good stuff. It's expensive, dude. As Robin Williams once said, it's a sign from God saying you make too much money.
And it's also, it was the good stuff because we saw what Dan Lanning did on the sidelines.
No kidding, dude.
That's good stuff. You could tell.
That's just the zins.
That's just
the zins.
He never acted that way in any other game.
Dude, I bet
zins
you.
Zins in the juice.
Dude, I bet you can make some yayo zins that you just gnaw on and your mouth is just like numb.
Just Lanning's zin guy just messed up and gave him the cocaine.
Wrong pack.
That was my pack, dog.
Why did you buy Zin on the black market? There's a Buc-ee's right over there. Could have just gone over there.
Dude, because Lanning was crazy.
It's nuts, dude.
I love it. That was one of the, because he looked like he was going to cry, but he also looked like he was going to murder everybody.
That's part of the conversation that I want to have in the Big Nooner. Would you rather have Dan Lanning or Marcus Freeman? Because Marcus Freeman's pretty buttoned up.
He's not
good looking, clean cut dude.
Painted hairline.
No, he's not Jaylen Brown. He's too young for painted hairline.
He's full painted.
Is he full painted?
Oh, full painted. Carlos Boozer.
I'm going to have to check this out. I'm going to have to do a little investigation because if that's the case, I'm against it.
I do my own research.
Again, that dude should white on the front. He's painted. Painted hairlines.
Maybe I'll be Marcus Freeman for Halloween.
You should do that as a bit. Like, you and Danny bet something, then that's your punishment.
Easy ride.
Well, I mean, we're not going to go full, but, like, paint my hair maybe. Right. I could get those big glasses like Jaylen Brown and be Jaylen Brown because he paints his hair.
Yeah.
You going to paint the beard as well?
No, I could grow the beard.
Okay. Because that's better, also better, painted.
Better start now.
I don't know what Danny's punishment would be. That's just your punishment.
Yeah.
But I'm reading this the Complex article. According to the Pennsylvania Office of Attorney General, the former Sigma Chi member Agostino Abitiello and co-defendant Thomas Robinson served as the operation's primary suppliers, making regular trips to Philadelphia and New York to get their hands on large amounts of cocaine. The drugs were then allegedly cut and packaged at their fraternities at fraternity houses before being sold to other Penn State students.
I mean, I've always wanted to go to a whiteout.
Nice.
Different term for a whiteout there.
Well done.
I'll give love over to the YouTube chat on that one. But
blow Paterno.
Did you guys go through this the other day?
No, we didn't. That was just Joe Fish texting. I don't think Primetime talked about any of the names, but Joe Fish threw out like 10 different Penn State puns the other day on Primetime. It was great. Just texted in. Joe Fish.
The great Joe Fisher.
That Robinson's father, like Stephen was saying, was also faces charges for tampering with evidence and hindering the case
that's
by
the
allegedly
thing.
Concealing as, a safe containing
as a father, do you stand up with your kid there?
LeVar Railington.
Say Coke Barkley.
Is good. What did you say yesterday, Casey? Christian Krakenberg? Or was that Joe?
That was Joe.
Oh, Christian Krakenberg is pretty good.
Joe was looking up Penn State names and then just like, hey, what can I rhyme Coke with? It was great. It brought me a lot of entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. I did think I came up with $1 billion idea, though.
I think
Coke Zin packets.
I don't think you're wrong. I actually agree. That is not a terrible idea.
Not a terrible idea. You know what would be cooler than that, though, is golfing instead of going to class. South Carolina. I told you, Shane Beamer's getting fired. That's next. 105.1 The Fan.